Wow. Well, give it to our media team. They've been doing a fantastic job. And I really am glad that I don't have to interview Alexa anymore. Last weekend, as our city supported the Rockets, the Indy 500 ran. How many people watched it? If you did, you watched some of the most efficient vehicles in the world race around an oval track for 200 laps until Willpower won the 500-mile race. The Indy 500 reminds me of our society. Just as the cars sped around the oval track at the Indianapolis 500, we try to keep up with each other and move faster and faster in a seemingly circular motion. Yet unlike the drivers of IndyCar, we cannot keep up. We cannot do enough. We cannot relax, and we cannot rest. So this morning, we're starting our system overload series by talking about rest. Now, when I say rest, some of you might be thinking about taking a nap, and I hope not during the service. But this is not the rest that we are talking about. Rather, the rest that we are talking about is the paradigm of physical and spiritual rest that God has given us. In a society where we are able to be entertained, stimulated, and glued to a screen more and more hours a day, our brains are having a problem recovering and resting. And according to mental health professionals, evidence is demonstrating that sensory overload and overstimulation is adding to the increasing rates of anxiety and depression in America. So, as we begin the summer, how many of you are anxious, tired, or weary? I certainly am. I am habitually overcommitted, overstimulated, and overloaded. When I am not working, I am engaged in other projects, interviewing uncooperative people like Alexa, counseling, following God's call to ministry, writing daily devotionals, and helping Allison prepare our home for the birth of our child. I am so tired that when I want to rest, I can't. And the baby doesn't get here until September. This is where most of you are at, right? Maybe there's a stress point in your life that is causing you to work more and sleep less. Maybe there's a life event that is happening, such as a new baby, a new career, a new home, a recent graduate, or someone home from college. Or maybe a 70-hour work week has you so overloaded that you need rest. That's where I'm at. Some of us are physically tired, but when I asked if you were weary, some did not say they were tired. Some wished God would give them peace. So being weary and tired are symptoms of being overloaded. And being overloaded can be both physical and spiritual. If overload is physical and spiritual, then there are two types of rest, body and spirit, but there is only one source that can give us both. In either case, we need a rhythm of rest for our bodies and souls. And without the Creator of the universe, we will get neither. Before we continue, let's go back to Scripture. Genesis 2 starts with the end of the creation account. Verses 1 through 3 state, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." Let's step back and listen to the poetry of these verses. We cannot miss the point here. God finished the work of creation and rested. Think about an artist who labored and labored over a painting. It's finally done. The creative work is over. They step back and take it all in. God has finished his painting. The universe is done. The world is done, and it is done in a way that's without sin. Without sin, the universe is functioning in perfect order, and God steps back, takes it in, and rests. There is something in all of us that speaks to the beauty, order, and rhythm of Genesis chapter 2. We see a beautiful image of God who stepped back, took in the order and perfect rhythm of the universe. Generally speaking, this is the image that is one of the reasons why we appreciate order and do not like things that are disorderly. Have you ever tried to work in a disorderly office or a desk that's in chaos? Chaos and disorder are things that most of us do not like and resist. We want to put things in order. We want to see the sequence of things, and we want to be drawn to things that are orderly because there's beauty in order. So can you imagine a universe where sin is not present and suffering is not profound? A world in which people do not spend an average of 15 hours a day in front of a screen. A world that is not overloaded. A world which God made and on the seventh day stepped back, took it in, and rested. The order in poetic language of Genesis 2 is used to get us to see that in the beginning there is a foreshadowing to the end. God's rest is pointing us to a future rest. There are two forms of rest that God is modeling for us. The first is that our bodies need rest. This is flat out true, and we see the need for physical rest throughout the Bible. We see this in God's law and the requirement for Sabbath keeping. Moreover, as humans, we are made in God's image. Given that God has made the Sabbath day holy, he is saying that there is a day, a season, a period of our lives where we need to stop working, unplug, let our bodies rest, and remember him. We are coded for rest, and we need it for our bodies. However, the second way that we find rest is spiritual. In order to understand spiritual rest, we should look at the seventh day. Something interesting happens on the seventh day that is not present in all of the other days of the creation account. There is no morning or evening on the seventh day. Do you know why? The seventh day sets up an age that was supposed to be eternal, where there is no end to spiritual rest. This does not mean that there is no physical work or activity. Adam worked in the garden. It means that spiritual rest is eternal. As such, God's original intention for the world was an answer to the restlessness of our souls. Spiritual rest is a condition of basking in the glory of God. This is not going to be sitting on a cloud and playing a harp, because Adam in the garden was not sitting on a cloud, nor was he stringing a harp. Rather, the garden was life in rhythm of spiritual and physical rest. Since the rhythm of the garden was in perfect time, we are called to give God the glory for his creation. We reflect everything back to him. And in a very real sense, this is what spiritual rest is. So how can we apply the rhythms of rest to our lives? If God rested and we are made in his image, then we should seek spiritual and physical rest according to his word. Rest goes all the way back to the image of God. So if God rested, we are built, coded, created, and set up to have rhythms of rest in our lives. This is what we're supposed to do. Now, is it what we do? No. We have tremendous problems resting. Maybe some of you are part of the majority that cannot rest. I certainly am. And did you know that the American workforce left over 650 million paid vacation days on the table last year? The vacation days were right in front of us, but we couldn't take them. We had to keep grinding. We had to keep working. We could not turn it off, and we could not rest. I think about this, and I think about how the CDC talks about the increasing rates of sleep deprivation. I also think about how they talk about sleep problems and how they're getting worse and worse in American life. I also think about how I push myself past the red line and crash. And when I crash, I retreat to the beach and binge on Netflix. There are a lot of reasons why we do not know how to shut it off and rest. I was recently talking to a coworker about this, and he asked, "Do you remember when we went to lunch for the sake of eating lunch? Do you remember when a meal was a time to break bread, eat, and connect with someone?" Y'all, those days are over. When we eat, we have to be multitasking. We have to be going faster and faster in case someone catches up with us or, God forbid, gets ahead of us. After researching the relationships between anxiety and multitasking, I find it interesting that science is coming to the point that we need to unplug and rest. All kinds of books are coming out about the need for sleep and how to make sleep better. We are wearing these devices and bands on our wrist to monitor our sleep. It is as if science is saying the most healthy thing we can do is not going to the gym, is not fixing our diet, but is resting for 8 to 10 hours a night. And while science is validating our coding for rest, Christians are saying, hello, we've kind of known this forever. We may not rest very well, but we have known that is important because we are created in the image of God who rests and models rest for us. Do you think that God was tired after he got done with creation? He is God, and rest has nothing to do with tiredness or weariness. God rests to show us what we need to do. And how ironic is it that God rested when he was not tired, but we are so tired and can't unplug, turn it off, or rest? The lack of rest in our culture is a manifestation of something bigger than we think. It is a manifestation of the original problem with man. We do not want to be made in God's image. We want God to be made in ours. And rather than resting, we just want to keep going and grinding and pushing ahead. This is rebellion. And like the 5-year-old child who kicks and screams because they don't want to take a nap or go to sleep, we reject that God has built us in a certain way where we need rest. And because we push it past the red line so hard and so often, what we are really saying is we just want to stay up and pursue our own desires. And despite our culture's apparent need to create its own meaning through our desires, we can push all day and say, I don't want to be a fragile human that needs rest. But you are, and I am. So what do we do when there is more to do in our lives than we can actually do? Do we decide to suspend rest and rebel against the creator of the universe? Or do we submit to His will and rest anyway? I remember when I was early in my career and I thought it, I had it all figured out. I thought that I had this rest thing nailed down. And I thought that I had achieved the ever elusive work-life balance. But then I took on leadership responsibilities and ownership of the firm. And I found out that there was more to do than I could ever do in a lifetime. That's when I started saying, I'll sleep when I'm dead. Have you guys heard that before? I thought that this saying was so noble because it gave me an excuse to drive and run. But later in life, I found out that it was not noble because in effect, it was saying, God, I know you made me this way, but I wish you had made me this other way, and I'm going to live like you had. Since not resting is rebelling against the way that God has made us, let's ask some questions to get us thinking about how we rest. Sleep. Do you sleep? If so, you should be smart about it. Watching 3 hours of Netflix or TV and then closing our eyes to go to sleep is probably not going to work. Work. Can you unplug when you leave the office? This is a big one for Allison and me. Is there a time when you get home that you can turn off the cell phone? I know I'm saying a lot here, guys. Put it away and leave it alone until the next day. Social media. What are your social media habits? You know, I read an article this week that said the best time to post something on social media to get the most views is 2:00 in the morning. We just can't seem to rest. How about our calendars? What does your calendar look like? We should be looking at our calendars through the windshield, not the rearview mirror. We should be focused on what's ahead of us, not what we're trying to keep up with that's behind us. And if we have to, we should schedule time for rest. I certainly do. And if you're scheduling time for rest and relaxation via summer vacation, and you decide to take the whole family to Disney World, because that's your idea of rest, well, I saw people in the airport recently in Orlando that looked like zombies with little Mickey Mouse ears on. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't go to Disney World. I like Disney World. But what I am saying is that if we do, we should schedule some intentional time for rest. We have to be intentional about physical rest. But there is a deeper rest. The seventh day creates a rhythm for soul rest. And while we need physical rest, we desperately need rest for our weary souls. This is deeper than it appears, and because Genesis 2 foreshadows a future rest, we need the whole Bible to understand soul rest. When God created the world, it was a place for Him to interact with humanity. And do you know what that's called? It's called a temple. The place where God and man interact is a temple. This is why it is so significant that the seventh day was never going to end. Think about it. Because God and man were going to temple together for all of eternity. That doesn't mean we don't work. It doesn't mean inactivity. It doesn't mean that we are not busy. But what it does mean is that we are not overloaded and our souls are at peace. It does mean that the things in our lives that give us anxiety, namely affirmation, acceptance, and security, those things that get a little off and we don't know that we have them, were things that were never going to be at the forefront of our minds. Why? Because God is clothing us in His love and in His perfect creation. Before sin, we were supposed to have soul rest, using our lives to bask in the glory of God for all of eternity. And that is where God, through Christ, takes us. But some things happened. There was creation, then there was sin. Then Jesus came to take care of it, and there is a new creation. There are four turns in the Bible: creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Now, this is where we're going to get really deep just for a few minutes here. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. This restoration is the same rest that completed creation. So we were at templing with God, soul rest, and we will be at templing with God, soul rest, but there was sin in the middle. And after that, there was redemption. There is a pattern here. There is a rhythm here. We see this pattern and rhythm in the New Testament. In Hebrews 4, 8 through 11, the writer of Hebrews says that Joshua led the people out of Egypt and gave them Sabbath, gave them a seventh day, gave them rest. Joshua led the people out. But then it says, David, who came after Joshua, spoke of a greater rest. He spoke of another rest. The writer of Hebrews is foreshadowing that there is a greater rest. In the same way that Joshua took the people out of slavery and into rest, Christ comes and takes people once and for all time from their soul slavery to their soul rest. And you need that, and I need that, and we need that. Listen, when I asked you if you were tired or weary earlier, some of you said, yeah, I'm tired. You thought that it was because the new baby in your home has been keeping you up all night and you are physically tired. But could it be something else? Could it be that you were so anxious about being a great parent or a grandparent? And by being a great parent or grandparent, that is your promised land. And because you're worried about it, you can't have soul rest. Because you're thinking, all of my acceptance and all of my affirmation from my peers and family and all the security of our home is wrapped up in my labor at being a great parent or grandparent. And if I am not a great parent, then I can't rest. Y'all, we can use many, 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 many more examples here. Many of us think, man, I can't rest because I'm working too much. And that's probably true. But could it be something else? Could it be that we can't rest because of our souls? The reason that we are working so many hours is because all of the affirmation that we are looking for in our lives was supposed to be bound up and with God giving us rest and templing with Him forever. And instead, we are trying to find it in work. Maybe some of us here said, I'm tired today because I'm nearing the point of burnout at church. All this volunteering, going to committee meetings, going to board meetings, getting involved in a small group, teaching Sunday school, writing devotionals, interviewing Alexa has me flat out tired. Could it be that while all these things are important, needed, and fulfilling, that there's something deeper? There's something deeper in our souls? Could it be that we are trying to do all this stuff at church because we are trying to win something from the Lord? We will never work hard enough to gain the type of rest that we are looking for. It cannot be gained. It must be given through Jesus. Jesus is the one who worked so that we could have rest. We can have soul rest in our lives if we would submit and find peace in Christ. Through Christ, God has promised us acceptance, affirmation, and security. This is why Jesus has come. Jesus has come to take us into that greater promised land, not just physical rest, but spiritual rest. We will never find the rest that we are coded for. the soul rest that we desperately need. If our identity is on the line through all the things that we are doing to win affirmation, security, and acceptance. Without Jesus' redemption, we will never be able to lay down and sleep. King David said, "I lay down and sleep when the enemy is on both sides." How could he say that? He could say that because he knew that there was a greater rest that God had already given him. We can lay down and sleep today because through Jesus Christ's work on the cross, there is nothing left for us to do. Jesus has taken care of it all. You and I sin. Jesus didn't sin. You and I deserve the cross. Jesus took it for us. And in his resurrection, he says, "Why don't you come with me and be joined with me in the newness of creation?" God said it was finished, and we broke the world. On the cross, Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and there is nothing left for us to do. This is why God modeled rest for us and is exactly what Hebrews is saying. It says that we must stop working for our soul rest because there is something that God has given us through our identities in Christ. We need rest for both body and soul. I said it earlier. Without the Creator of both, we will have rest for neither. So let me leave you with this. I read something from theologian, pastor, and writer Larry Osborne recently. He said, "If some of you are at a situation at work that keeps you up and your soul, body, and everything are tired and weary, then a Christian looks at the circumstances, does the best they can, and then they leave at 5, go home, and take a nap." Friends, let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. We thank you for your coding and call to physical and spiritual rest. We need this rest in our lives. We pray that we will follow your example and embody your rest. We pray that we would be the ones who submit and say that we will bend our will to yours. We pray that we will be the people who unplug and rest. And we pray that we will not rebel against you by refusing to rest, by grinding it out and pushing forward past the red line. In this way, Father, we pray for those here today that are working for an identity, working for acceptance, and working for affirmation. Please help us to see that our affirmation, acceptance, and identity have been given to us through a deliverer that has redeemed us and given our souls rest. In his name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.